Of Honesty Talk, we are going to be discussing a hard-hitting topic. I think the three of us feel quite emotional already about it, so this is a bit of a trigger warning because we will be speaking about various types of abuse within the community. Now, when we consider the term abuse, there are various degrees and forms: physical, sexual, psychological, emotional. It can happen within a marriage, it can happen from a parent to a child, it can happen with people, individuals that are outside of the family network. When we consider how much abuse is being discussed in the non-Muslim space, yeah, the whole Me Too movement, would you say that the Muslim community has embraced that? Or are we still struggling with the fact that there are believers who are oppressing others by abusing them in all its different forms, sometimes within the family? You know, is the community embracing the fact that exists? Are they doing anything about it? It's a hard-hitting topic.
It is, and just to answer your question, I feel like we're not facing up to the fact that this exists in the Ummah. We want to put up the guise that we're okay, this only happens to them, the non-Muslims, as people of faith, this doesn't occur to us. And when it does occur, be quiet about it, because if you talk about it, it's shameful. You're gonna bring shame on the family, bring shame on our community, bring shame on the Ummah. Hush. And so we don't want to address it. And so when children, adults come forward and say, this is what's happening to me, cover it up.
And that is disastrous for the victim. That is disastrous for the victim, and that's completely disastrous for their faith. Mm. And we find that a lot of victims, Muslim victims of abuse, end up leaving Islam.
Absolutely.
Because of this type of approach.
Especially when you have scenarios where the perpetrator is a so-called practicing Muslim, or the people they seek advice from are imams, leaders, whatever, are telling them to put up and shut up, don't talk about it. They know the abuser, they will not out the abuser, they will package them off to a different community so that, you know, it doesn't go out. And so the abuse is perpetrated. The abuser starts there, and then there, and then there. Whether that's with women, children, whatever, it's still... And we know that, obviously, when we're talking about abuse, it's not just the physical act of abusing someone. There's emotional abuse that's not talked about.
Psychological.
There's psychological. There's even religious abuse where people use the deen to justify their actions. Mm. I'm the man, you're the woman, shut up.
And put up.
And I have a right over you. Allah has placed me higher than you. You belong there and you obey me. And so what's a sister supposed to do? How is she supposed to view Islam? This religion that, especially for reverts, this religion that's supposed to uphold me, this religion that's supposed to protect me. And now it's the one that's been used to abuse me. What do we expect then but for the sister to leave Islam?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned reverts there, and I obviously I have to speak about this. when I consider the number of cases that come through to Solace from revert sisters who basically are, they're just dying an internal death, you know, because they're just, they're abused in so many ways, and it's, and they say, is this being done to me? Because they know that I don't have a family backing, or that the family backing that I had is weak, has been weakened because of my decision to become Muslim, you know? And unfortunately, it's from the husbands. They physically abuse them. They psychologically traumatize them, knowing that they don't have the support network that many other sisters do. And, you know, this type of oppression is just, it's beyond me. It's disgusting.
I've had someone say, to ask me, is this really what Islam says?
And it's not.
Is that, like, she's questioning because she's like, maybe I don't understand better. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know. So to clarify, is this really what Islam says? Am I, like, should I be accepting this as what Islam dictates, what Allah has said should be happening to me? Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah.
I think, you know, from the religious kind of spiritual trauma side of things, where a person is being told that the reason they're being treated this way is because it's somehow justified in our faith. This, you know, is doing such, it's not just abusing the person and hurting them, but it's, this is getting between them and God. It's such a disservice. It's like, you know, we think of da'wah like da'wah that we see, pamphlets and videos and da'wah in that way, but you're breaking a human being, and you're saying that you're breaking them with the support and backing and instruction of God.
Oh.
Like, it's such a egregious crime.
Do you know what upsets, me about that? And we're going to obviously move away from this just happening to reverts, but what upsets me about that is seeing the sheer joy and the passion and the zeal, right, on a revert sister's face when she is surrounded by the community as she embraces Islam. And it's not easy. It's not easy to leave everything that was familiar to you, right, knowing that it can completely disrupt your family network, embrace Islam, have hope, have belief, have passion, have zeal, and then to be shut down and oppressed in this way in the name of Allah. What that does to a person. And then you find, and this is why, you know, at Solace we talk about this. We say, yeah, everyone celebrates people becoming Muslim, Islam is on the rise. But we don't talk about the fact that because of the actions of Muslims, not because of Islam, because if they practice Islam, these sisters will be flying. They'll be like, they'll feel like they're in Jannah already. You know, because of the actions of Muslims, we have sisters that say, I made the biggest mistake of my life because, by becoming Muslim. And it's not because of the religion, because the religion is pure. This really, really upsets me. It upsets me. And what upsets me even more, in fact, is that when these sisters go to the leaders of our community for help, right? What are they told? What are they told? Who do they have to go to? Do they go to their father? No, their father isn't Muslim. Do they go to their brother? Their brother isn't Muslim.
And they can't even talk to them because they'll say, you're choosing this.
Yes. And they'll say to them, come home.
Come home.
Don't worry.
You don't need all of that.
So then when they go to these leaders, because they have no one else to go to about the oppression they are facing, what do these leaders tell them? What are you doing wrong?
You brought it on.
You brought it on.
What have you done?
Have sabr. He will change. You have the powers of a woman. Use them.
And they never go to the brothers and say, own your nonsense.
Now don't get me wrong, yeah? Some sisters need to fix up.
Yes.
Okay? I'm not talking about those that are in an abusive relationship, because I don't care what a woman does, she never should be hit. Okay? So don't get me wrong, some sisters are in fact the abusers. And yes. I'll come to that in a moment, yeah?
Yes.
DV against men.
Yes.
But subhanAllah, I just cannot understand why these sisters who are oppressed are being told that they have the power to change the situation around. How can you turn the situation around when you are being punched in the face repeatedly?
You know, the worst one is when they aren't being punched in the face. Like, they could, those abusers would justify the fact that they have not touched them.
It's not as bad as you're making it out to be. You're overreacting.
I haven't touched you. What have I done?
Yeah, well, we know, the psychological manipulation, right? Scars as well.
Right? I remember a sister not being able to ever own, not even a single pound she was allowed to own. She wanted to get sanitary products. She would have to ask her husband. She would have to write receipts. She would have to have everything down because he believed that it was his right. It's my money, so I have a right over it. And she was in such a wreck because she thought there was something wrong with her.
Mm-mm.
So the physical abuse is one thing. The imams cannot, they don't talk about psychological and emotional abuse that happens to sisters, because he's not hitting you, sister.
It's almost also, you know, the it's presented in a way that the imam is looking out for the betterment of the community at the expense of the victim. So, you know, if you walk away from this abusive man, you're going to put your children out of house and home. You're going to become another divorcee, get in line with the rest who are looking for someone to save them. You're going to put yourself in this vulnerable position. You might end up with someone who's worse. So they talk them down.
And I've heard and this. Tell them, I have firsthand don't. Heard this.
Don't try and do anything
I
about it.
I have heard this from leaders within our community. Tell this to sisters. And you know what? Because they're so beaten down already, and I don't just mean physically, I mean they're exhausted, they just accept. Since when was oppression in any form whatsoever acceptable within our religion? It is not.
Mm.
It is not. Allah hates oppression. Right? We don't take the reality of what the victim is enduring. We're thinking about the bigger picture, you know, keep things hush hush, you know, we can't talk about this, you know, it's going to give Islam a bad name. Islam already has a bad name. I get the fact that we want to give dawah and we want to show Islam in a wonderful light. I'm a champion of that, right? As a revert, I'm a champion of that. We want more people to embrace Islam, you know? At the same time, we need to be real. We need to be real with what's happening. Okay, fair enough. I mean, we're talking about it in a public realm because we need to. Mm-hmm. But at least deal with it in a private setting well.
Yeah.
Even in a private setting, you're beating that sister down even more for even coming to you and saying that she wants help.
But it's very much, it's kind of a clique culture thing going on. You know, you're the woman is going to the mosque to speak to the imam, who's known the husband for over a decade, and he prays Jum'ah there.
Yes.
He's my mate. You know, now let's call your credibility into question because I've only ever known good of him.
He prays.
So how are you going to out him?
Yeah.
How are you going to make me, you know, how are you going to try and smear him like that because you're emotionally flailing around and you're a bit unhappy in your marriage and maybe you're exaggerating and over-dramatizing. So it's a woman's problem. So let's send you home and tell him to get his house in order. It's very, you know, it's dismissive. They're not validating. They're not listening. It's entirely inappropriate. And it kind of, another episode is training the leadership on dealing with matters of social injustice.
Absolutely.
And counseling.
Yes, yes.
There's a big,
yes, yes.
There's an organization that needs
yes.
chapters in every part.
Yeah. The problem is,
to
Samaya,
deal with this.
The problem is, Samaya, there are going to be people watching this, right? And they're going to say, look at these three feminists. And that is a reality, right? No, I mean, listen, hear me out. They're going to say, look at, this is all feminism. And this is what happens. Whenever we as women talk about the abuse that we're facing, right? And we question the actions and the decisions that the leadership takes, what is said?
Yes, don't.
And not just from brothers, from sisters.
From sisters as well.
But I would say even mostly from sisters. you know, they've succumbed to feminism.
So to put that to rest, this idea that either we're abusive and extreme and excessive and we tear people down, or anyone who disagrees with us is the polar opposite extreme, which is that they're trying to push a different kind of agenda or ideology or all the isms and fancy names you want to call it. But the bottom line is that this matter needs to be addressed, and it's real.
Yes.
If you want to call names, if you want to be small-minded, if you want to make this a battle, you know, about that, and you want to stand on your soapbox and say your bit, go do that. But the bottom line and why we're here is to address the real topic, because there's people that are suffering.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, if you want to name call, go do that. But really, there are people that are suffering, and the matter needs to be handled.
Oh, especially, yes. And we've been talking, this has like been a lot about domestic violence and abuse about against women, but there children. Is also children.
Yes.
Children are being abused by family members, by people in the community even, sexual abuse against children is real. And I can say that as a person who's experienced sexual abuse, that it is real.
Mm.
And it is being covered up.
Mm.
We don't want to talk about it.
Mm. You know, it's true. And the thing is, what it leads to, Layinka, what it leads to, and I'm going to use an example here of a boy who was sexually abused by his mother's new husband, okay, raped repeatedly over a number of years, is that he has repeatedly tried to take his life.
Miskin. What did they do about it?
What did the mother do?
What did the community, like, how was that handled?
Well, the mother obviously straight up, you know, mashallah, took matters into her own hand. She went straight to the police, social services, so on. However, when she went to a leader in the community, one of the first things that he said to her was, two things in fact, the child probably might be lying.
So where's the child?
Right, number one. Number two, sister, have you been negligent towards your husband in that department?
That makes me so mad.
Right? Now, if the leaders are having this approach, okay, a child of 13 years old does not repeatedly attempt to take their own life for no reason. Okay? When that child tells his mother things that only a married couple would know, even if that wasn't the case, how is it that this is what's said to her? And these children, you know, we spoke about parenting in one of the episodes, the challenges of parenting. We want our kids to thrive. We want to be with our children in Jannah. You know, we want them to be better than us. These kids are going to leave Islam because of the abuse. And sometimes it's not even just because of the abuse. It's because of the way the abuse was dealt with.
Yes.
They were not supported. They were not believed.
Yeah.
You know? Or it was hush, hush, because, you know, we're believers. We shouldn't talk about this.
They were victimized for their abuse. They were told that you must have done something. Especially if it's a girl. And it's a man in the family. What did you do? How did you dress?
Mm-hmm.
Were you up on him? Was it something you must
brought
have
on.
Brought on to yourself? So it's brought on to the it's the victim
is blamed.
That is who is blamed. And victim blaming is so prevalent across the board of the abuse in the community. Victim blaming is so prevalent. Sister, how are you dressed? What were you doing? And you hear it even when a woman has come out, has been, like, you hear about a rape case. So what was she wearing? No. Let's get it straight. A woman can wear what she wants and you don't have the right to take advantage of her.
Mm-mm.
Based on what she, like, that is, I don't understand the concept of, I have a right to take advantage of her because she's not dressed. Her being dressed or not has got nothing to do with you being unable to control yourself. Her being dressed doesn't give you a ticket to take advantage of her.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control yourself and you can't control your desires. Own that mess.
Mm.
It makes me so mad.
makes me sick. I mean, and also the fact that when it's done in the under the guise of being religious, and this kind of duality of, oh, but there's such a good, upstanding brother or sister in the community, we would question your credibility first than to look into whether there's any
truth
in what happened. So the person's outer image will be put over what they do, and for that reason we'll cover for them, and for that reason the community won't do anything about it. The leadership who have a position to won't do anything about it. The sister who went to the cops and just went for it because she's doing what she needs to do to take care of her baby. Did. There's a big taboo.
Oh, don't even about going to the cops. Don't even get me started on that. Don't even get me started on that.
When women do that, astaghfirullah, you're telling the kuffar about our problems. You're exposing the
You're turning him over to the, you know, what's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to him? What's happening to the child? What's happening to the person who he's abusing?
Exactly.
You should go straight. But in the community, it's like, oh, look, like you sold out or something by dealing with the problems. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. I think taking it back to the victim. Can a victim of any type of abuse, right? A Muslim victim of any type of abuse, can they survive it and go on to lead a very fruitful Islamic life? Layinka?
Yes, they can. Bi-idhnillah, they can. It takes a lot of courage and it took me a long time to even tell my parents. My parents didn't know. My father only knew last year. That's when I told him. I'm 33. And it happened to me when I was 5. And he knows the person. And yeah, it took a long time to own my truth, and that's what happened to me. And alhamdulillah, I am so grateful that Allah didn't make me a victim to my experience, because I know that many victims of abuse become a victim to their experience, and they live in a place where it's almost like they're reliving it internally, you know? And alhamdulillah, Allah didn't put me there, that he gave me all that I needed to be able to rise above it.
And girl, you have you mashallah risen.
Alhamdulillah,
you have not only survived it, but you have risen. Can I give you a hug?
Yes.
I'll come to you because of the mics.
Mashallah, alhamdulillah.
And I think, you know, I commend you as my friend and as my sister for the ability to talk about that, because I know that was quite something.
Yeah, it takes so much for a victim, a survivor, and I know some people don't like using those terms. Survivor, victim. I'm not a victim of my abuse. Something happened to you. Just not you choosing not to use the word victim doesn't mean it didn't happen to you. Mm. And it doesn't mean that by saying the truth of what it is, that someone perpetrated you and your rights, that it doesn't mean that you are never going to be able to rise by saying that you're a victim of abuse. It doesn't mean that you're always going to be downtrodden because of what you experienced. Own it. Mm. You were a victim of a crime of some sort. Mm. Of an oppression of some sort. It's okay to admit that that's your truth. It doesn't mean that now, oh my God, my life is over kind of thing, you know? And I hear it in like online. Mm-hmm. I'm not a victim of abuse. I'm a survivor instead. Call it what you want. Something happened to you.
Mm-hmm. And you need to work through it.
Yes.
You need to be brave enough to, I think as a Muslim, brave enough to seek help, but also brave enough to deal with the fact that the leadership and sometimes members of family are not mature enough, not emotionally wise enough to give you what you need. But there are people out there, yes, that can. So I would say to victims, you know, don't be disheartened with the type of response that you're receiving from your family, from the leadership, from the masjid.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't, I have said this before, they haven't had their noses rubbed in the dirt enough yet for them to develop that level of wisdom. And that's why, you know, they are. We don't wish bad on anyone, of course, but, you know, leave them. This is about you. As a victim, get the support that you need and you can rise. And I think you've given a lot of hope, mashallah.
Hope so.
And I'm so glad that you shared that. I'm sure you agree, Sumayya. You've given a lot of hope that you can have gone through an incredibly painful experience and carried that with you for so many years. And then you stand and you rise and you go on to become a beacon of light for others. Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Right. I feel that this needs a part two, part three, part four, part five. But we need to kind of wrap it up. So, Sumayya, your final thoughts on this topic?
For anyone who's in it, to not feel like something's wrong with them and to take the steps to reach out for help and not give up on that, not feel like they're doomed and it's over. But there are people out there, and to reach out.
Islam does not condone oppression. And if you are in a, if you are in a position of being oppressed, find a way to get out of it, and speak up about it. Specifically, speak up about it, because otherwise the oppression will perpetuate, will be perpetuated.
I think for me, I'd like to talk about dawah very quickly. We as Muslims, we want to share our faith with the world. We want everyone to become Muslim. We want to take everyone with us to Jannah. And this is amazing. However, making a decision to not face the ills within our community because of that is wrong. The best thing that we can do as a community is to talk about the ills within us and the fact that we're doing something about it. Otherwise we simply become like, for example, the Catholic Church. Hush, 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 and it all comes out later. You know, we are not like that. We need to be an ummah that acknowledges the bad within and we're proactive to do something about
and
it.
And knowing that the bad comes from we as humans, as Muslims, rather than Islam itself.
Yes, and that is key. And that is key. You know, Islam is on one side, the actions of Muslims are on the other. We need to deal with that. Still, you know, push how amazing and pure and perfect Islam is, but let's do something about it. And when people see that, you know, when non-Muslims, for example, see that we're doing something about it, that shows a community that's strong and powerful and willing to address what is not right and make it right. And for those that are coming into Islam, for our reverts, it shows a community that is behind them. So it's all about being proactive. This was a very, very sensitive topic. We have a couple of links in the description. Please do visit these links if you need support. And share your thoughts, your comments in the comments box.